We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Lamed Daled. We begin 3 lines from the top of the Amud, beginning the new Mishnah. The Mishnah continued the theme of the previous Mishnah, which discussed things which, although our parak was talking about things which are added into the Shemayin Esrei, like Besin Talmud Levracha, Masher Ruach, Yal V'Yavay, are things that are improper to add into the Shemayin Esrei. As the previous Mishnah said, regarding if someone says, Al Kan Tzipi Yagir Achamecha, things which are a distortion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim, and other things. Our Mishnah continues on this theme, and the Mishnah begins. If someone says that those that are good should bless you, and for the good things we're blessing you, that's a way of heresy because it's not true, because even Rishoim should be the ones blessing Kaddish Baruch Hu, not just the Toivim. Now the Mishnah continues with, if a Shliach Tzibur, if the one who's leading the services, the prayer, if he makes a mistake. So the Mishnah says, if someone goes in front of the Teva, it's like what's called that he goes davening for the Amid, and Vitan, he makes a mistake. So the halach is Yaver Acher Tachtav. So they put someone else in this place. And the halach is V'lo Yehi Sarvin Ba'is Shah, that a person should not refuse at that moment. And that is that, although when it comes times for other times, when they're asking someone who wants to daven for the Amid, that when they tell him to go, you have to refuse one time, which is not just to refuse because you're not interested, that a person should want to be the Shlich Tzibur, but it's a way of like humility saying that I'm not worthy, as the Gemara later is going to discuss that. However, at this moment, where it's a middle of Shemayin Esrei and the Shlich Tzibur made a mistake and he doesn't know how to go back to where he was, now you should not refuse because now it's embarrassing that the Tefillah should be waiting so long with no one else going up. Similarly, there are those who want to say that when they're waiting by Yishtabach for someone to go up, that's not a proper time to refuse. That's a time when a person should go ahead and give that opportunity to go ahead and be the Shlich Tzibur. So now the Mishnah asks, Mehechen u'maschus. So this person who's going up, taking the place of the previous Shlich Tzibur that made the mistake, from where does he begin? So the Mishnah says, Mitchilas ha-brocha shato azeh, from the beginning of the brocha that this one made a mistake. That is, if let's say the one who was saying Shemayin Esrei, he made a mistake and he skipped one of the brachas. And he said a different one. And now he doesn't know how to go back and to get the frame of mind to know where he should begin with. So the one who's going in his place, he should go back to the bracha that this one skipped, and he should continue from there on till the end of the Shemayin Esrei. Similarly, the Mishnah says, if someone is davening for the Amid, he's the Shlich Tzibur, lo yano amin achar kahanim, should not respond amin after the kahanim, when, in other words, the Shlich Tzibur, after every bracha of Birkas Kahanim that they say, Yivrecha Shem Yishmerecha, everyone answers and responds amin, so then the Shlich Tzibur should not. And the reason is, when they had tiruf, because of confusion. That is, he shouldn't get confused and make a mistake, because since he's the Shlich Tzibur, he has to start the second bracha and to say in front of the Kahanim every single word, like he says Yivrechecha, and they answer Yivrechecha. So he has to be able to go ahead and lead them into the next sentence, and he's going to get confused because he answered Amen, and he won't be able to begin quickly the next part, the next words of the next bracha, so therefore he shouldn't respond Amen. And the Mishnah says, Vim Einshem Kain Elohu, if there is no Kain in the shul besides him, besides the Chazan, Lo Yisis Kapov, he should not do Nesis Kapayim, he should not do what's called Birchas Kainim. And the reason is because maybe he's not going to be able to go back to his tefillah to be able to focus properly and begin the bracha of Sim Shalom, because he's going to be, so to speak, confused from his fear of the tzibur, of the congregation, that he's performing this Birchas Kainim. So therefore, he doesn't even do Nesis Kapayim in the first place. However, the Mishnah does say that if he's confident that he could do Nesis Kapayim, and he won't become confused from the emas tzibur, from the awe of the congregation, and he'll be able to, so to speak, refocus and go back to Sim Shalom, then Rishoy, then he's permitted, he can be the Shlich Tzibur. When it comes time, Birchas Kahanim, he turns around, he says it, he goes back, and he continues on doing his davening. So now the Gemara explains the first halacha that we mentioned of when the Shlich Tzibur makes a mistake, and someone else takes his place. So turn Rabban, ha'evil lefnei ha'teva, tzarech l'sarv. Initially, when someone is given the opportunity, the offer of going in front of the Teva to daven for the Amid as the Shlich Tzibur, he has to refuse. And that is, when they tell him to go ahead and do it, he says, I don't want to. In other words, what he's trying to say is that I'm not worthy. Vim ein mesav, if it does not decline. So then, doimel tavshol she'im b'melch, he's compared to like a cooked food that has no salt. There's no flavor to him. He doesn't, so to speak, appreciate that you need something else, just like a cooked food needs salt to make it better. You're not everything, and you're not that worthy. You should refuse first. the imisar b'yoyse medayah, and if he refuses too much, in other words, he says, no, really, I'm not worthy, and even though they don't have anyone else to go up, and we say, no, we want you to daven, then he's compared to a cooked food that is oversalted, so to speak, like burnt by the salt, that is like putting on too much salt. There is something that's worthy of you, that you just need some salt, so refuse one time, but then at the end, you should, so in other words, you shouldn't go to any extremes, not to go right away, and not to be overly refusal. So how should you do? Ketzer hu aisa. So the Braisa says, Pam rishon yisav. The first time you refuse, you say, oh, I don't really want to go daven. In other words, he's showing that you're humble and you're not worthy. Shnia mahav. The second time they ask you, no, please go daven. You start stirring. And that is that you start showing yourself that you're preparing, you're ready to get up. And shlish is, when the third time when they finally say, no, please go up to daven, then push it. It's raglev yard. He extends his feet and he goes down and he goes down to the amen and he davens as the shlech tzibur. And that, similarly, the Gemara brings Tarabon, but in the Braisa, Shleisha, Ruben Kasha, Umiyatan Yafa. There are three things that they're bad in excess, but that they're fine in moderation. What are they? Ve'eluhain, Sa'ur, yeast. A little bit of yeast is necessary, not too much. Umelach, and salt. Visarvanis, and refusal. It's the same idea that we were saying, that a person should refuse a little bit, but not overly done, and that is Miyutan Yafa, that in moderation, refusal is a good thing. So now the Gemara discusses this about that we said in the Mishnah that the one who takes the place of the one that made a mistake, he should begin from the beginning of the bracha that individual, that Shliach Tzibah, had made that mistake. So Amar Rav Huna says, Ta'a b'shalash rishaynis. If the first Shliach Tzibah made a mistake in the first three brachas, let's say he's in the middle of the bracha Mechayim Mason, and he makes a mistake, he skips the bracha, he doesn't know how to go back. So then the one who takes his place is Chayzal Reish. He goes back to the beginning of Shemayin Esrei and he starts from there. Bem Tzoyus, if he made a mistake in the middle brachas, which is from Atachayna to Shema Keleinu, that's the middle of the section of Shemayin Esrei, because it's split into three parts. The first three brachas are Shvach, the middle are the brachas of Bakasha, and the last three are the brachas of Haidah, which come at the end. So if he made a mistake in the middle, then Chayzal Atachayna goes back to Atachayna, which is the beginning of the brachas Hem Tzoyis, of the middle brachas. Ba'achrayna is Chayzal Avayda. If he made a mistake at the last three brachas, then he goes back to the beginning of Ritzei, which is the bracha of Avoida. Ravasi Amar, Emtsoyis Ein Lehen Seder. But Ravasi says, no, that the middle brachas, they don't have any order. In other words, if the first one skipped the bracha, and then he remembered it, so then he could say it even not in its place. So if let's say he said, Hashiveinu, and then he skips Slach Lonu, and then he goes to Re'e. So after Re'e, he could say Slach Lonu, and then continue on to Refa'einu. So now the Gemara asks, Most of Rav Shesh. Rav Shesh asks, according to Rav Huna, and some say, even according to the question is going even on Ravasi, depending on the Girsa and the Rishonim, Mehechen hu chayzer, that we learned, where does he go back to? We learned in our Mishnah, Mitzchilas ha-brocha shetazeh. He goes back to the beginning of the brocha that this one made a mistake. So to Yuvtad Rav Huna, that seems to be a contradiction to Rav Huna's statement, that he said that if you make a mistake, let's say by Rifa'enu, so you go back all the way to the beginning of Atachinen. In our Mishnah it says, to the beginning of the brocha that he made a mistake, therefore he would go back to Rifa'enu, not to Atachinen. And that those, including Rashi, they want to say that the question is even on Ravasi. That from our Mishnah, we can understand that it's, you go back to the bracha that he made a mistake from, and then you continue thereon straightforward. So you see, says Rashi, that it has to be al ha-seder, has to be in the correct order, not like Ravasi that said you could even say it out of the order. So either way, it's difficult, at least according to Rav Huna, and possibly even according to Ravasi. So Amalcha Rav Huna answers, Im tzoyez kulo chodeh b'chasaninu. All the middle brachas are considered one bracha. And that when the Mishnah says that you go back to the tchilas ha-bracha shatazeh, to the beginning of the bracha, that this one made a mistake, that means atochainen, because it's, so to speak, three groupings. The first three are one, the middle are one, and the last three are one, and therefore it's not a contradiction from our Mishnah, because when the Mishnah says you go back to the beginning of bracha, it means atochainen, because so to speak, atochainen tishma kelenu is one large bracha. Now the Gemara continues on the proper order that a person should have in the structure of his Shemoyne Esrei. Om Rav Yehuda, lo'olam al yishal adam tzrachav, lo'y b'shalash rishaynis, v'lo'y b'shalash achrayin. So a person should never ask his personal requests, not in the first three brachas of the Avis and Chisameisim and Atakadish, and not in the last three of Ritzei and Moedim and Simshalim. That's not the proper placing. However, Tosis does mention, and interesting, he brings from the Rach and his Rebbe, that that's necessarily for an individual, for a Yachid. But tzarchi tzibur, but things that are necessary for the congregation, for the public, that we do request. And that's why Tosfos says that we say Zacheinu L'chaim over there, and we say the Kravitz that we say on the on for Purim and other nischayos that we say in the kines and yala v'yavai. And he says that that it's obvious that it has to be like that, but, and that it's only talking about for individual not to request, because the main purpose of the last brachas are tzarchi tzibur. Sim shalom, bring peace, bring the avoda back to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this that it says that you should never request your needs in the first three or last three, it means the individual's needs, whereas the public's needs is allowed in those brachas. However, the Gemara continues, Ela bem tzoyis, rather it should only be in the middle brachas, a person could ask his needs, as all the brachas are, and the person is even allowed to insert over there his needs over there as minimal as possible, but a person could ask whatever he needs in those brachas. As the Gemara brings, Amar Chanina, Rishonis Doima LeEved SheMesad Shvach Lefnei Rabbi. The first three brachas could be compared to a servant that he first organizes the praise of his master, saying, "Wow, you're so great. You're the most merciful. You're so to speak, getting in the favor of the king." And then Emtzoyis Doima LeEved SheMevakish Pras Mirabbi. Then the middle brachas are like a servant that he's asking an allotment from his master, saying, "You're so kind. You're so giving. Maybe please can I have something from your graciousness?" And then the last three brachas can be compared to the servant that he got already an allotment from his master, and now he's begging leave, and he's leaving. He's saying, he's so to speak saying thank you for everything, and he's taking leave of his master. So that's why it has to be in that order, as our Shmoneh Esrei is composed. Similarly, the Gemara continues, Tana Banan Maisa B'Talmud Echad. There was once an incident that happened with a student that he went down in front of the teva. In other words, he went to be the shliach tzibur in front of Rabbi Eliezer. He prolonged his Shemoneh Esrei very excessively. He was holding everyone, so to speak, captive with his Shemoneh Esrei. He was schlepping, like it's called. So his students told him, Rabbeinu, our master, kama archon, who's that? This guy's such a schlepper. He's making the Shemoneh Esrei so long. So Amalehem Klum Marach Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you think he's davening longer than Moshe Rabbeinu did? Tchsiv be esarbom hayoyim esarbom halayla b'gomer. That Moshe Rabbeinu says that for 40 days and 40 nights I was beseeching Hakadosh Baruch Hu and I was davening. Don't worry that he's schlepping. It's not a bad thing. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for 40 days and 40 nights. Shuv ma'isa b'talmud echad shiur lefnei ha'teva b'fnei Rabbi Elazar. Another time there was a different talmud that went down in front of the teva to daven in front of Rabbi Elazar. Vaymekatzer Yosef Medai. And he was making a very short Shemoneh Esrei. So Amalei Talmidav, kama katun hu zeh? So the students told him, how short is this? He's doing it such an abridged Shemoneh Esrei. It's too short. Amaleim, he said to them, klum mekatzer Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu? You think he's saying a shorter Shemoneh Esrei, shorter Trilah than Moshe? Tichsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, when he was beseeching Hashem to heal Miriam from her tzaras, he said these five words, kel no, please Hashem, refon no lo, please heal her. And that's obviously a short tefillah, and that was just five words. So therefore, this person is definitely not being shorter than Moshe Rabbeinu. And what we see the lesson is that it's not how long or how short, it obviously depending on the circumstances and on the individual that's requesting it. Now the Gemara continues on this pasuk that we just brought down, Kel Narafon Olo, Amir B'Yakov, Rav Chasida, Rav Chizda, Kol Mavakesh Rachim Malchaveroi, Ein Tzorch L'Hasker Shmai, whoever seeks mercy on his friend, he's davening for his friend, he doesn't have to mention his name. In other words, he doesn't have to mention the name of the chayla, of the sick person. Shenema kel narafon Allah. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, that please God, heal her. And he didn't say her name. But lo kamat ker shema demarim, he doesn't mention her name. However, the paiskim do mention that it would depend if it's in front of the chayla, as Moshe Rabbeinu was, or if not in front of the chayla, as the Magen Avraham says, possibly then one should mention the name of the chayla, but definitely in front of the chayla, the name of the chayla is not necessary when you're davening on that person. So now the Gemara continues with other halachas regarding tefillah, which is the subject of our parak. Tanya Rabban, Elu brachos she'adam shoyche behen. These are the brachas that a person bows down in them when he's davening Shemoneh Esrei. Ba'avos tchila b'sayf, in the beginning of the bracha of avos, when the person starts bracha to Hashem, and at the end when he says Magen Avraham. Ba'hoida tchila b'sayf, and by moedim, the beginning and the end. And that is in the beginning when you say Moedim. And at the end is when you say L'chono L'hoidos. And then the Brisa continues that V'im bolo shuach b'slev kol bracha bracha. If the person is coming to attempt and he wants to bow down at the end of every bracha, when he says Chana mar b'lisloyach, every bracha he wants to bow down, u'betchilis kol bracha bracha, in the beginning of every bracha, melav d'nois yishlo yishcha. We teach him that he should not bow down. That we don't have that the person bow down only at these designated times. And what is that for? So Taisa says the reason for that is is that it shouldn't come to uproot the initial divrei chacham, that people shouldn't say, oh, everyone's just being machmer on this, or being stringent, they do whatever they want, and there really is no takanas chacham, because he bows down 7 times, he bows down 4 times. Therefore, we made it that it should only be at these designated times, so that people should not even not bow down when they're supposed to, which is in the beginning at the end of the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, and the beginning at the end of the bracha of Moedim. Another Teres Tosis is that we're concerned about Yoira, that for Gaiva, that people might be bowing down improperly when they're not really on the Madrega, and therefore we instituted that one should never bow down besides at these 4 designated times. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, Amrishim ben Pazi, Amrishim Alevi, Mishum bar Kapara, Head Yid Kamoish Amarnu. An ordinary person is like we just said, that he only bows down at these 4 times during Shemoneh Esrei. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. However, Kohen Gadol, B'soiv Kol Bracha Bracha, Kohen Gadol, he bows down at every bracha, and that is, the greater the person is, the more he has to be machnia, he has to make himself humble and to be mashbal himself. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol, that's greater, he has to bow down and prostrate himself more times. V'hamelech, T'chila Kol Bracha Bracha, B'soiv Kol Bracha Bracha. And the king has to bow down even more, he bows down at the beginning of every bracha and at the end of every bracha. Now the Gemara brings down a different opinion. Amr Bitzchel Bar Nachmeni, L'didi Mefarsh L'Ibnei Dir B'Shum Levi, to me was explained in the name that from B'Shum Levi in a different version. And it was said as follows. Hedid Kamosh Amar, they're correct that an ordinary person is, as we said, only those 4 times. Kohen Gadol Tchilas Kol Bracha Bracha. Kohen Gadol has to be in the beginning, and some bring the Girsa of Vesayif, that a Kohen Gadol is in the beginning at the end of every bracha, which is the version before it said it regarding the king. HaMelech, and the king, Kivin Shekara Shuvin Nezakev. Once he bows down, he never picks up his head until he finishes Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, he starts bowing and he doesn't pick up his head until he finishes. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, by Hikachalit Shloima Lisbal Vagaimer, when it happened that Shloima, who was the king, when he finished davening, it says, Kam Lifnei Mizbeach Hashem. He got up from before the Mizbeach Hashem, Michroy Al Birka, from kneeling on his knees. So you see that the whole time that when he started Shemoneh Esrei until the end, he was kneeling. That is a king, not that he does in the beginning at the end, as the first version. Rather, my version was that he bows down and he stays like that all the way till the end. So now once we're speaking about Kriya, about kneeling and bowing, so now the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses all the different terminologies that are used in the vernacular of bowing. Different phrases, and they mean different things. Tan Rabban, Kida, when it says the word Kida, that means alapayim, that a person bows down until his face, that is, he's standing up, but he bows down and he's able to, so to speak, have the flexibility that his head actually touches the ground, even though his waist is vertical. Shneva, as it says in the Pasuk, V'tikad Basheva Apayim Eretz, it says that Basheva was tikad, that she bowed down to the earth with her face. So we see that it's a bowing that the face reaches the ground in spite of the fact that the person is standing. Kriya, when it says Lashon Kriya, al berkayim, it means on the person's knees. Shenema mechroya al berchav, like it's the pasuk that we brought just before by Shlaima, that kneeling on his knees, that's what Kriya is. Hishtachavo, when he uses the word hishtachavo, prostrating, do pishut yudayim reglayim, that's extending the hands and the feet, that's totally out, flat, horizontal on the ground. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, that Yaakov Avinu told Yosef after he had the dreams that everyone's going to come bowing down to him. So Yaakov said, "Havoinovay ani ve'imcha v'achicha, do you think that me and your mother and your brothers are going to come lehishtachaves l'cha arza, to prostrate ourselves to you to the ground?" And that is the word ground, sounds like totally spread out on the ground. So those are the different terminologies used, kida, kriya, and hishtachava, different types of bowing down. Now the Gemara continues on, related to Shemoneh Esrei, as we're discussing, that after Shemoneh Esrei comes what's called this Tachnun, or it's called Nefilas Apayim, which is in essence really part of Shemoneh Esrei, and that's what one should not speak after Shemoneh Esrei before he does Nefilas Apayim. And that comes right after, and that's part of it. So the Gemara discusses exactly how that happens. Amar Rav Chiya Bereder of Huna, Chazinu Lehu L'Abaye V'Rava D'Matzlo Atzloi. I saw Abaye and Rava, when they would do Tachnun and Nefilas Apayim, they would lean on their sides. And that is, they wouldn't do a, so to speak, a pishut yudayim reglayim. They wouldn't spread out straight on the ground. Rather, they would lean a little bit towards the sides. And our minhag today is different, that since we don't do hashtachavos at all, besides on Yom Kippur, so therefore we just sit down and we also lean, and we don't do it straight down, we lean on our sides. Now the Gemara continues on this about kriyas, about the bowing downs, that tanichada, hakareya b'hoidah harizim b'shubach. We learned in one brisa that whoever bows down during hoidah, which is a reference to Moedim, that is praiseworthy. But we're learning another brisa that whoever bows down by Hadah is blameworthy. How do we resolve that contradiction? The Gemara says, Loi kasha. That when did we say that it's that one should bow down? That's in the beginning of Moedim. This that we said that it's blameworthy, that it's Megunah, that's at the end of Moedim. The Gemara says, Rava kara b'hidah tchila b'saif. That Rava, he did bow down by Moedim in the beginning and the end. Right, which seems to be unlike the way we're resolving the contradiction in the Brises, which is our minik too, that we do it by Moedim and then by at Toiv L'Hoidus. So Amalei Rabbana, my Kovad Mar Hachi, so the Rabbana asked him, why are you doing this? So Amalei Hu Chazin L'Rav Nachman the Kari. He says, I saw Rav Nachman that he would bow down in the beginning at the end. But Chazin L'Rav Shesh is the Kovad Hachi, and I saw Rav Shesh that he also did this. But then they asked him, but Tanya Karei Bohidah, Reza Magunda, but we learned in the Brises that whoever bows down our Dah is blameworthy. And the way we resolved it is that that's the end of the bracha, so why are you bowing down at the end also? So he answered, no, Haidah doesn't mean Haidah, the Maidim during Sed Shemoyne Esrei. Ahiba Haidah Sheba Hal, that's a reference to the Haidah that comes at Hal, that we say, Haidu Lashem Kitay, that Haidah, one should not bow down at that time. So then the Gemara asks, Vatanya Hakarei Bahidah, Bahidah Shalal, Harezim Guna, but it says, not only the Haidah of Hal, but it says also Haidah and Haidah of Hal, which obviously the Maguna, the blameworthy of Haidah, is not the Haidah of Hal, and therefore that would probably be the Haidah that comes at the end of Maidim, that is Maguna. So he answers, no, that Haidah, Kitanya hi, Bahidah de Birch Sammozen. That's a reference to the Haidah that comes at Birch Sammozen, which is the second bracha of benching, which is the bracha of Noidlcha, that's also saying thanks to Hashem, they were praising him. That a person should not bow down, not by Haidah, which is a reference to Naidilcha, and not by the Haidah of Hal, which is Haidah Lashem Kitay, which is by Hal, only at the Haidah of Maidim during Shemayna Esrei. And then it's Tchil V'Saif in the beginning when we say Maidim, and by Taiv L'Haidah when we say at the end, when we finish off the Brach of Maidim. So now the Gemara begins the next Mishnah, which talks about different mistakes that were made in Shemayna Esrei. Just as the previous Mishnah spoke about when a Shlich Tzibur makes a mistake during Shemayna Esrei, what happens? Our Mishnah continues on that theme. Hamispal v'tah simen ralei. Whoever's davening and he makes a mistake in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, it's a bad omen for him, a bad sign. Ve'im Shlich Tzibur hu, if he's the Shlich Tzibur, he's the messenger of the congregation, he's davening for everyone, simen ra l'sholchav, that's a bad sign for all those who are sending him, for the whole congregation. And the reason is, a famous klal in Shas, that the messenger of a person is like him. In other words, he's their extension, he's their representative. And therefore, if he stumbles, if he makes a mistake, it's indicative of the whole tzibur. Now, interesting that one time there was a chasna that Shlomo Kluger was attending to, and he stayed the whole chasna, and they asked him, why are you staying so long? If every chasna you stay only a short time, and you're quickly to go back to your studies, why do you stay a long time? So this is because Rabbi Kivege was supposed to come to this chasna, supposed to be Masadr, and he wasn't able to make it. So he asked me if I could take his place. He says, I want to be Rabbi Kivege as long as I can be. Because Shliach Shalom Kamaisa, you're actually as that person, and therefore he wanted to, so to speak, be Rabbi Kivege longer. And that's the idea that we're saying in our Mishnah, that if he makes a mistake, it's as if everyone's making the mistake, because he is representative of them. And that's similarly when we do the mitzvahs of Hashem, we're, so to speak, Hashem Shluchim, and we're, so to speak, being Hashem at that time. Anyway, so the Mishnah continues that Amru Lav al Reb Chanina ben Daisa Shayim Mispal al Chaylim. That this idea that we're speaking about in the Mishnah regarding making a mistake, that it's a bad sign and not making a mistake. Similarly, they said that regarding Reb Chanina ben Daisa, when he would daven for sick people, after he finished, the Vayim Zechay Vezemes. So he would say, this one's going to live and this one's going to die. So Amru Lav Minayin Atadeya, how do you know that? So Amru Lahem Im Shagura Tzvilas Bifi, if my prayer is fluent in my mouth, in other words, that I can say it. And continuous, and I'm not going to stumble, and it's all going to be flowing from my heart straight to my mouth, and whatever I want to be lengthy about in my supplication, it comes out perfect. So then I know that my prayer is accepted. Vimlav, and if not, that I stumble and it doesn't come out so fluid. I know that it's torn, and that is two different pshatim in Rashi. Either that I know that the person is torn, so it's be like a treifa, he's not going to live, or it means that the tefillah that I was mispal for him, that was torn. That was, so to speak, rejected and not accepted, that I know if I don't dive in the fluid tefillah. So now the Gemara asks, ahai. In other words, this that we said, that making a mistake is a bad sign for the person, where are we talking about? Which one of the brachas is it indicative that a person is, so to speak, that it's a bad sign for him that he made a mistake? So Amr B'chiyo, Amr Avsafra, Mishram Chad, the Bei Rabbi. Ba'ovis, it's a reference only when it's when he's in the middle of saying the first bracha of Shemayim Ne'eseh, which that's the beginning of the tefillah. So that's a sign that, so to speak, from Shemayim, they don't want it, they don't desire it. All the way when right when he starts, they start like not being interested. But later on the Shemayim Ne'eseh, that's not such a bad sign for the person if he stumbles. However, Ikad Masn La Braisa, some say this halacha from Abchiyah, that he was qualifying a certain Tanoic statement, and he said that it applies to Avos, that the first version says it's going on the halacha of our Mishnah, that when the person makes a mistake, it's a bad sign for him that it's going on the bracha Avos. Some say that it was going on the Braisa, which as it says in the Braisa, Mispalad Tzorch Shechav Nislibe Bekulun. Whoever's coming to Daven, he has to have focus, that he's able to properly pronounce and have kavana by the whole Shemayin Asseh. Let's say he can't focus the whole Shemayin Asseh, he just doesn't have that frame of mind. He has to at least be able to focus by one of the brachas of the Shemayin Asseh. On that, Amr B'chir, Amr B'saf, Mishram Chad, Debei Rabbi, which bracha is that? That is Ba'avis. That's the bracha that must be kavana. You must have Pirsh Amilis. You must be able to understand everything that you're saying and properly focus in that first bracha. As Taisus says that although this that we say on Daf Lamed, that a person should always assess himself before he davens, that he should be able to know that he can focus, and if not, he shouldn't daven. Taisus says that there it's also talking about a reference like we say over here, Ba'achas Men, which means the Brach of Avis, and that is the halacha, that Ma'akim, that it should be that a person should be able to focus on the first Brach and know the Pirish Amelis, and that's the one that he has to be able to have the proper Kavanah for. Of course, a person should have Kavanah the whole Shemayin Asseh, but that is the one that's necessary and essential for a person being Yotzei his Tefillah. Now the Gemara returns to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Amr Lav Reb Chanina V'chulu, that they said about Reb Chanina that depending on how fluid his Tefillah was, he knew if it was accepted or not. So the Gemara asked, where do we know this idea, this concept, that if a person's Tefillah is fluid, that it's accepted, and if it's not, if he stumbles, that it's not, so to speak, accepted. So Amr Yishu ben Levi Damakar, because it says in the Pasuk, Borei Niv Svasayim, that Hashem, he's the one that creates the utterances of the lips, Shalom, shalom, la'rochik v'la'karav, that peace, peace should be to those that are far and to those that are close. Amr Hashem, that's what Hashem says, Rafasiv, and I will heal them. So that is that it's so to speak a drasha, that when the utterances are strong and healthy, that's niv, when the utterances are, they take the word bari, which is related to the word bari, which is healthy, when the utterances are healthy and by the person, then he can be confident that there's going to be peace, that is bari niv. When the utterances are healthy, then shalom shalom, then there's going to be peace. And that's the idea, that when he knew his tefillah was fluid, that then all the things are going to turn out okay. So now the Gemara goes on a few different Amaroic statements from Reb Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Reb Yochanan, because within the conversation is going to come out the pasuk that we just quoted. Amar B'chiyah Bar Abba, Amar B'yechnan. Kala Nevim Kulon Loi Nisnabu. That all the different prophets, they didn't prophesize all the good that's going to come to Klal Yisrael, all the consolations. Ela L'meisi Bitel Talmud Chacham. Only for someone that marries off his daughter to a Talmud Chacham, which is a great thing. Ula Isa Pragmatil Talmud Chacham, or someone that engages in business with a Talmud Chacham. Ula Mahan Talmud Chacham in the Chasab, or he benefits a Talmud Chacham from his possessions. That is the things that, and he's going to say a few different statements like this about all the good that was all the prophets spoke about that's going to come, when Mashiach comes, that this was only speaking about, he says, for those who do this great thing, that they have some type of involvement with a Talmud Chacham, either marrying off their daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or doing business, or benefiting of a Talmid Chacham Atzma, but regarding the Talmud Chacham themselves, that the Pasuk says, Ayin Leira Selekim Zlosecha, that the eye has never beheld Hashem besides you. In other words, it was never seen and was never revealed even to the prophets, because they're going to get something which is beyond our capacity to even imagine. Yasa lemachakalai, that what he will do to those who await him, for those type of people, for the Talmid Chachamim, they, it's beyond our capacity to even imagine what Hashem is going to do for them. Similarly, v'am Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan, that kol nevim kulon lo nisnabu el l'meisa Mashiach. That all the prophets, the only things that the greatness and the good that they said is going to come was only for the era, for the messianic era, for the era of Mashiach. Avol olam haba, but for the world to come, which is after the 7,000 years, ayin lo ros l'kim zusecha, that the eye has never beheld Hashem besides you. In other words, that's beyond our capacity. To which the Gemara says that this statement from Reb Chiya Bar Abba, upli de Shmuel, that argues on Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says, ein ben oil mazel l'meisa Mashiach, he holds that it can't be that the prophets, when they said about all the good that's going to happen, is in reference to the days of Mashiach. Because he says that really when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be any different than it is right now, besides one difference, that there won't be the dominion of the different kingdoms on us. Shenemad, it says in the pasuk, ki lo yechtel evin mekev arts, that they won't seize the poor from within the land. It's going to be the same thing as it is right now. It won't be, so to speak, everyone's going to be wealthy and everything is going to be growing in 5 seconds. Everything's going to be as it is when Mashiach comes. Rather, we're just going to be free to be ourselves, and we're not going to be under the different Shibud Malchias, the different dominions of the kingdoms. And therefore, he holds, obviously, that the prophesies, what the prophets were showing, were for Olam Haba, because he held Yemei Mashiach is not really any different. The Gemara continues with the same Amora, in a similar vein. That all the prophets, the only thing that they prophesied was for the Balei Tshuva, for the penitents, for those that come back, of tzaddikim gemurim, but for those that were purely righteous, that, as the pasuk says, ayin le'ras v'lekim zosecha, that the eye has never beheld besides you. The Gemara says that that statement pleads Rav Avoh, that argues on Rav Avoh, the Rav Avoh, that mokim shebalei tshuva imdim, because he held that just the opposite, that in the place where the penitents, that the balei tshuva stand, tzaddikim gemurim eino imdim, they're the purely righteous, they don't stand, that balei tshuva aren't even a higher madrega than the tzaddikim gemurim. So obviously that it's not like that Reb Chiya said that it's going to be that the prophets were only saying for the Balei Tshuva and Tzaddikim Gemurim are even greater because the Balei Tshuva are greater. Shenemad says in the Pasuk, Sholim, and this is the Pasuk that we brought before and that's why we brought down this whole discussion, Sholim, Sholim, L'Rochik V'Lakarv, that peace will be for those that are far and those that are close, which is L'Rochik B'Reish of Had L'Karv. As we see there, first it mentions peace comes first to those that are far and then to those that are close. And therefore we see that the so to speak, the Baal Tshuva that was far, and now he's coming close, that person gets peace first, that he's greater than that or who is close than the Tzadik Gomer. Rabbi Yechonam, Malach Rabbi Yechon would respond to you and to Bimiyash of his Shita that he held, as we're saying over here, that the Nevuas were only for the Baal Tshuva and the Tzadikim Gomer are even greater, and that no eye has ever beheld. But the Pasuk seems to say that Rochik comes before Karev. So he answers, my Rochik, what does it mean Rochik? Shahoyi Rochik midvar aver mikara. That he was always far from an avera all the days of his life. In other words, that he's a tzaddik mikara. He was always a tzaddik because he always kept his distance from an avera. Umay Karev shahoyi Karev l'dvar avera ben esrochim min hashta. And what does it mean close? That he was close to averas earlier in his life. And now he's far from it currently. So therefore, that's how he resolves it according to his shita, that Rochik coming first is Rochik from Aver, which is the Tzaddik, and then Karev is who was close to Aver, and now he's far. That's the Baal Tshuva. So now the Gemara wants to understand this interesting terminology that we said about all these different classifications and qualifications, that the Nevuas were only said for Yemei Mashiach or for Baal Tshuva, but it wasn't said for Olam Haba or for Tzaddikim Gemurim. What does it mean, my Ayin Loi Rasa? What does it mean that the eye has never beheld? What are we referring to that's so great that was never even said about by the Nevi and by the prophets? So, Amri B'Shuv Ben Levi, Zeyayin HaMeshumer Ba'anov of Misheshes Mevereshes. Obviously, this can possibly be taken on a metaphorical stance, but it's a reference to wine that has been preserved in its grapes from the 6 days of creation, which is old wine. Obviously, it was from the first that was ever created in the world. And the idea is that it's been preserved in its grapes, that it was never seen by the eye because it's under the peel. That's what it means, ayin le'ra, so the eye has never seen it because it's being preserved in the grapes itself, and that's what it means, that the tzaddikim gemurim or in olam haba, that will be gotten by people. Another pshat, the Gemara says, Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omer, ze Eden shleisholta boi ayin kol berya. It's a reference to Eden, to Eden, that the eye has never beheld that. So the Gemara asks, Shema Toyma Adam Rishon Heichan Hay, then maybe you're going to ask, but where was Adam Rishon? We all know that Adam Rishon was in Gan Eden. So he beheld Eden already, which is obviously the most pleasurable place in the world to be. So the Gemara answers, that was Began. He was in the garden. It says Gan Eden, he was in the garden of Eden, but he was never in Eden itself. Veshema Toyma Hu Gan Hu Eden. And maybe you're going to say that the garden is the same thing as the place called Eden. Tamalaymer, it says in the Pasuk, V'nohar yoytzim e'eden, that a river came forth from Eden. Lahashkes is a gun to water the garden. So you see that gan l'chud ve'eden l'chud, that the garden is one place, Eden is another place, and no one has ever beheld Eden before. And that is the place that Ayin L'Rasa, that's what the Tzaddikim Gemurim, or every person, Olam Haba, will witness when the time comes. Mekarv b'yamein o'amein. So now the Gemara continues with the tefillah of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, which we spoke about in our Mishnah. And similarly to what we to a discussion of what was said in our Mishnah. So the Gemara brings a story. Turn Rabban. One time it happened that the son of Reb Gamliel got sick. So Chanina Bedoisa, as our Mishnah says, he was famous for his davening. So he sent two Talmid Chacham to Reb Chanina Bedoisa to beseech mercy for his son to recover. Kibin Shirois, and once he saw the Talmid Chacham coming, he right away knew. He went up to the attic and he beseeched mercy for the son of Gamliel. When he came down, he says, "You can go already because the fever has left him." They asked him, "Are you a prophet?" He says, "I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. But this is my tradition that I have. That imshagur tefilasabifi. If my tefillah, if my prayer is fluent in my mouth, I know that it's been accepted. Vimlav, but if not, then I know that it was rejected." And obviously in this situation, he knew that his tefillah was fluid. So they sat down, and they wrote, and they were meticulous to write an exact moment when it was that he told them and when he davened. When they came to Reb Gamliel, so Reb Gamliel said to them, I can swear to you that you didn't detract or you didn't add one moment from the exact time when it was that he was healed. So this was the story. That exact moment is when his fever left him. And Vishal on the Mayim Lishus, and he asked us for water to drink. That was because his fever had left him and he recovered. So the Gemara brings another incident. That this same Reb Chanina ben Doisa, he went to learn Torah by Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the God Hadar. And the son of Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai got sick. Amaloi, Chanina beni, bikush lo v'rachem v'yichya. So Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, he says, Chanina, my son, who is a student, please beseech mercy about him so that he shall live. Heniach roisha ben Birkov, ubikush lo v'rachem v'choya. So he put his head between his knees. He beseeched mercy for him. He davened for him, and he lived. So Amr Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai said and responded to this. He says, "Il moli hitiach ben Zakkai as roisha ben Birkov kol yom kula." He says, were it to be that ben Zakkai, in the reference to himself, would put his head between his knees the whole entire day, lahay mashkichim, they wouldn't look at him. In other words, it wouldn't be any guarantee that I would get answered. So Amalei Ishtei, so Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, his wife, his rebbetzin, said to him, "V'chanina kodem b'chay, is Chanina your student greater than you?" So Amalei Lav says, "No. Elohu doyme ke'ever lifnei amelch. He could be compared to a servant that's before the king." In other words, he's a ben bayis. He's someone that lives there. He's a servant. He's constantly coming in and out, even without permission. V'ani doyme kesar lifnei amelch. But I am like a prince, one of the lords that come in front of the king, that I'm not so accustomed to coming in. Obviously, I'm more chashiv, but since I'm not constantly there, it's not necessarily that I'll be answered, whereas Reb Chanina ben Doisa is always there as an eved, and therefore his tefillah is answered right away. Now the Gemara concludes with another statement by the same Amor. Reb Chiya bar Abba Amar Reb Yochanan, "Al yispal adam el bebayis shishim chalayin." A person should not daven only in a house or in a shul that has windows, and the reason is because that it causes him to be able to focus, because he looks up towards the heavens, and his heart is, so to speak, humbled of the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemet says in the Pasuk by Daniel, that when he would daven, v'chaven pesichon lo'ibelisei, that he had an open window in his upper story, neged Yerushalayim, facing Yerushalayim, and that would, so to speak, be the way of for him to be able to focus his davening. Similarly, the Gemara says regarding the proper place to daven, Amrav Kahana, chotzev alayim mandamatzli bebiksam. It's arrogant for me, those people, that they daven in a valley. And that is because a valley is improper, because when a person is in the makom of tznius, in the place which is hidden, not out in the open, so then he has the awe of the God on him, of HaKadosh Baruch, of the king, and then his heart is broken. Whereas in the valley, it's out in the open, and therefore you feel more expansive, and you don't have the same humility you have in a place that's closed in a room or something like that. Similarly, the Gemara says, V'ramav Kahana, chatzav alai man de mefarish chatoi. Similarly, he says that it's arrogant for me those that they discuss their sins. They say it out explicitly. Shenemar, Asher nesu feshe kisichato. That praiseworthy is the one that covers up his sin and he conceals his mistakes, his negligence. A person should not go ahead and reveal that. And the reason is because then he's embarrassed for his sin. But if he says it out, so it's like as if he doesn't care about Taisa says, and It's brought on Daf Yud Beis that Kalo Isa Dover Mispaish Moichlam Miyad. It's very important that a person should, so to speak, be humbled and be embarrassed from what he did, because then, so to speak, his sins are forgiven right away. So therefore, it was chutzav to him that those people that they just say, "Yo, I did this and I did that," because that, so to speak, takes away the bush of a person, and therefore it's a type of a chutzpah and it's not proper. Hadna Loch Ein Imdin. We shall return to you, Perek Ein Imdin, and we finish the first five parakim, the fifth parak of Brachas, and we conclude the parts of Brachas that speak about Kriya Shema, which are the first two parakim, and then the parakim which discuss Tefillah, the Shemayna Esther, and the next parak, the sixth parak, we begin the halachas relating to Brachas, and specifically Birchas HaNenin, the Brachas that is said when one consumes food or drink.